We are live here at the Minnesota State Fair, answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have here at the fair or at home or wherever you may be, either by phone or by text as well. I am here with Julie Wise, as promised, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappe from the U of M. So we've got some great brain power here on our WCCO veranda. Any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you. It's good to see you both here.
It's like the two-headed monster.
Yeah.
Thanks again for having us.
Yeah,
but
thank you.
It is great, and it just is a beautiful day.
Oh, could be better.
I'll ask you later what happened to my lawn, John, but that's for another
all right,
another time. But again, mentioning we're here at the State Fair, are you is the extension here? Is the U of M around anywhere here?
Yeah, in the Agriculture Horticulture Building in the Southwest Wing, we have Master Gardeners and the Turf Lab that are here all day, every day of the fair to be able to answer any of your lawn and garden questions.
That's
so
great.
Come ready.
Yeah.
9 to 9.
Yeah, absolutely. I had the chance to see Julie this past week at the Arboretum. And we talk about it all the time,
right?
What a great resource this is. And I had the chance to drive that 3-mile drive. And what a great resource.
Yeah.
I love being there. You can just stay there forever.
Yeah.
Now, you guys are office there.
Mm-hmm.
We are. We're up at the farm at the Arb in the Myers Education Center, which is surrounded by the foodscape, which John and I designed together. And really shows off beautiful edible plants, food plants, along with John's living patio, which is tall turf type fescue.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about the Arboretum and have a chance to get there. Bring your family and friends there. Our phone number is also our text number, and you know how busy we tend to get here on the show, 651-461-9226. I'm looking at a lawn question right off the bat here, John. What to do about grass rust?
Well, rust is a disease of most turf grass species. Some produce a little bit more or are susceptible a little bit more to rust. It's what turns your shoes red or kind of rust color if you're walking through a lawn. Now, as far as what to do about it, it is a high nitrogen-liking disease, so you can back off the nitrogen rates a little bit, but generally speaking, it's really just involves patience in just allowing the plant to grow out of it because it's just a temporary...
So it's not going to hurt anything?
No, not typically.
Okay. Again, 651-461-9226. This listener, Julie, started a small 3x10 strawberry bed 7 years ago. How and when is the best, to thin and clean up the bed? Can this be done this fall when it's a bit cooler?
Yeah, so strawberries, what a wonderful crop to grow. It's a great ground cover. It's perennial, so it comes back every year. And it also sends out runners, which can create a really nice patch. But it can be difficult to get to those center plants. And eventually some of the plants will die out and you need to clean it out. So what you can do a couple things. You can route out, in other words, weed out alleys within your strawberry patch. You can mow it. You can also, probably you want to do this about every 3 years or so. Depends how much your plants are growing, how green they're getting, how thick. We have an excellent webpage on our fruit section of Yard and Garden on Extension at extension.umn.edu. And it gives you all examples and information about how to care for your bed. Also about diseases and pests, too. So, and different kinds of strawberries that are good to grow for Minnesota.
I wanted to ask John about lawns. This is my favorite time of year to try to get mine in shape. But really is a good time of year for shaping up your lawn,
yeah.
Right?
Just like the state fair, this time of year is perfect for growing grass in Minnesota.
What can you do? What can we do to?
Well,
to
make right it now we're coming up on a great time to begin. If you're looking to renovate your lawn and establish it by seed, right now is basically the optimal window if you have access to irrigation or a way to regularly water it. Otherwise. Fertilizing is we're coming into basically the optimal time of the year to fertilize your lawn. And finally, weed control for broadleaf perennial weeds. Starting any time right now is a great time to start getting them out of the lawn and getting it ready for next year.
You know, I noticed after we had this great rain in the spring, my lawn was actually looking like it was really coming back from the drought. But then now I've grown a great crop of weeds. They look like clover, which clover's nice,
yeah,
right? You like
yeah.
clover.
But
what? But and we've asked you this before. What can you do about weeds? Can you put anything on it now, or will most of them die off?
So it really depends on the type of weed. But if you want to have fewer weeds, or if you want to use fewer chemicals for controlling or managing them, a dense and healthy turf is the best form of weed control, and that begins with proper management practices like fertilization and mowing. So as far as the types of weeds, some are annual weeds like crabgrass are going to start dying off here in a couple weeks, certainly by the first hard frost. So managing them is really not worth the time or energy. So, but perennial broadleaf weeds like creeping Charlie, wild violet, dandelion, those are best controlled in the fall. And you can do that from, if you already have them, some selective herbicides can work. Otherwise, just hand pulling them if you're not really big on using herbicides.
I'm hoping to, and again, we've talked about core aeration. This is a good time for that too, right?
That's exactly right. Yes, yeah. Right now is the best time of the year. If you're only going to aerate one time and you need it, and you know you need to aerate, right now is the great time to do it.
John and Julie, for those folks that don't know what that is, maybe they're newer homeowners or something. What kind of a machine do you get?
Well, a core aerator is really just, or an aerifier, as some are marketed. They're most equipment rental places for direct to consumer will carry them. And it's really just a walk behind or walk in front of device that just pokes holes in the ground and will pull cores. And that's what the little soil cores you see all over your lawn or over some lawns. That's just a way of relieving soil compaction. It allows better airflow, more root growth, and water infiltration into the soil. So it's really helpful for your lawn and certainly for the environment as well.
And again, this is a pretty good time to do that, right?
The best time.
All right, Julie and John, hang on. We're going to take a quick break here. Invite our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you are in luck. Julie and John answering those questions. We'll take a quick break and be right back. I can tell you that at the moment we have 66 degrees in the Twin Cities. How warm will it get here at the fair? Around 85 today, around 91 tomorrow, and about 94 on Monday, and then it starts cooling off. Again, 66 degrees from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. It is a beautiful day here at the Minnesota State Fair. We're broadcasting our Smart Garden Show live here at our WCCO Broadcast Center. Denny Long here, along with Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the University of Minnesota, answering any kind of a lawn or garden question. By the way, Julie and John, as usual, you know we always get pretty busy
around
this
great
show. We're no exception today. We have tons of texts, but we also have a phone call.
All right.
So let's see if we can't hear from Gaylen in Owatonna. Yeah, good morning, Gaylen. What can we do for you? What is your question, please?
Good morning. The technician who was treating my grass, fertilizing it earlier this summer, accidentally sprayed up on one of my evergreen bushes on an ornamental. And I'm wondering what to do with that brown spot that's at the top and then dribbles over the top.
Okay, so got a little evergreen got burned by some
Some herbicide.
Yes.
Herbicide drift or spray.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that the important thing to do is to just kind of wait on it. Don't prune anything off. The needles will drop off if they're all brown. You may see a branch die or so, but just kind of hold tight. Water the plant. Make sure that it's mulched. You essentially want to lower as much stress on that plant as possible so it can kind of recover from the herbicide damage. But we kind of jump the gun sometimes when things like this happen and prune off an important branch on an evergreen in particular, and it's difficult for those to grow back. So just wait, water it, keep it healthy, watch it through next year. It may actually rebud. It might just be the needles that were affected, and you may see new buds on it and new growth next spring.
Texter says this: I have a very large honeysuckle plant. How can I root or split the plant, and can I do it now, or will it survive the winter?
Well, I'm assuming they're talking about a shrub, a honeysuckle shrub, and those are not to be divided. Now, you may see suckers that you could dig up, and you could move those around if you wanted to. I would recommend actually not doing that, but using, if you want a honeysuckle somewhere else, look for some of our native honeysuckles. But these exotic honeysuckles, essentially you can coppice this plant. In other words, you can cut it down to the ground, and it will regrow and kind of get back into shape right now. So the other option, too, is to remove the biggest branches out of the center, roughly about a third of the plant, and you can do that anytime. And then and then that will also allow for more light to reach the base of the plant and therefore younger branches to come up next spring.
Texter says this, and there are many. How late in the year can juniper trees be planted?
Trees can be planted into fall, probably around, it depends on our weather, but probably around into late September. And the important thing is planting, whether it's shrubs, junipers, or trees, whatever woody plant you're planting, is to water them consistently up until freeze, and then also to mulch them to protect the roots. So that will help to hold in moisture, and also to protect the roots from too much, like if we suddenly get a really big cold snap, it'll keep the soil temperatures more moderate and allow that plant and those roots to go slowly into dormancy.
Julie, we've had a bunch of questions about lilacs this year,
oh, yeah.
It seems like. And
yeah,
there's
lilacs.
A bunch of them here, so maybe we could tackle. What's happening to lilacs? People are complaining about the brown shriveled look, the leaves.
Sure.
What happened?
Well, if you think back to this, first of all, think back to last year. The last few years, we've had really stressful, dry, hot summers. So that puts a lot of stress on plants. And stress on plants lasts into the next growing season. And then you think about our spring this year, and it was cool, it was really wet, and it was very windy. And this makes for a perfect storm for leaf spot diseases. And these are fungal diseases, some are bacterial diseases, and they can spread by wind onto other plants. And lilacs are one of the plants that are susceptible. They're almost every plant is susceptible to leaf spot diseases, but we see them on lilacs when we have these kinds of conditions. Lilacs are also, especially common lilacs, susceptible to powdery mildew, which is another type of leaf spot disease, and we see that all the time at this time of year. So that's what you're seeing. You're seeing the dye back on the leaves from those leaf spot diseases. The good news is it's cosmetic, and so therefore you want to clean up those leaves around the base, rake them up, get them out of there. You can throw them in your compost, and then also you want to prune correctly. So look at your lilacs. If they're really dense canopies, you want to prune out some of the bigger branches. And just like the person who asked about the honeysuckle, we want to either prune out a third of the largest branches of lilacs, or you can coppice the plant to the ground. Now, the one cautionary about that is that you are going to prune off at this time of year some of the flower buds for next year. But if it improves the health of the plant overall, it's a good sacrifice to make. We have a brand new webpage that just came out 2 days ago on lilac diseases and issues, other issues. And you can find that on extension.umn.edu under our trees and shrubs section.
I was going to ask John if he plays any kind of a musical instrument and joins the Abiders.
I don't know.
At
do
all.
You?
No, I do not.
Did you play in band?
No.
Okay. And speaking of which, those a lot of folks know that Julie does play in a group called the Abiders. Are you playing at all soon?
Yes, yes. We have a really great event today. It's at Back Channel Brewing
today.
In Spring Park. Yeah. And it is a benefit for the local food shelf. Thousands of people come to this. It's a huge fundraiser. And we will be playing our band. There's five bands. We play from 6 to 7:30 p.m. We're the warm-up for the headliners, Bitter Roots. And so we hope to see some of our listeners out there. We're also playing tomorrow at the Surfside Patio, Surfside Barn Grill and Mound, our own backyard. And so we'll have a trio on the patio from 2 to 5.
Maybe John could try a cowbell or something.
All
right. We need to take a break. I tell you what, let's do this. There's a question. We have so many. I want to field as many questions that we can. There's a lawn question, fertilization. Should we fertilize our lawns in October?
Yeah, as long as you can fertilize even into the end of October, but just make sure that you're using a water-soluble, quick-release nitrogen source like urea. Just something that's going to be more plant available, because anytime we fertilize, we want to make sure that it can be taken up. So that's why we time it when we do.
All right, very good. We're going to check out that hot forecast coming up here in a moment or two. We have about another half hour of the show to go here live from the State Fair. From News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with it. We are live here at the Minnesota State Fair, and a friend of mine stopped by, and I wanted to say hello to Jake from By the Yard. You've seen this guy on television all the time. You're in my living room all the time, and I wonder, how does this happen?
Well, I don't know, Daddy. I guess dumb luck sometimes. But, yeah, mornings like this, I just heard you say it's getting to be a little bit humid, but we'll take it. You know, this is the whole reason we've got our furniture here, to enjoy mornings like this and evenings like last night.
Well, you and I have talked for a long time, years and years, and you see here we have By the Yard furniture up here in our veranda. Where are you guys located here at the fair?
Yeah, we're at the 4-H building, so right by the Healing Garden. Yeah, we've been there for 4 years now. It's a beautiful setup. We just added a big deck. We've got hundreds of pieces there, so we have free glider rides there. So if you don't want to go to the Midway, you can stop on by our booth.
We're talking like a 10% savings, and you can get some pretty quick delivery too, can't you?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's an opportunity to save hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Yeah, and our turnaround time is about 2 to 3 weeks. So as you just mentioned, the forecast looks great. Plenty of time to sit outside, enjoy your furniture, get a fire table, get all set for this fall.
This is the furniture we've told you about. I was telling some friends of mine, probably almost 20 years, I think, here on CCO. Yeah. And I'm looking at the furniture on our deck, and we did buy some new pieces, as you know. But you can't tell the difference of which is older and which is newer.
No, I mean, there's a reason we give you a 35-year warranty. I mean, this is our 29th year at the fair, so we're definitely not new to this by any means. But, yeah, I mean, you just leave it outside. You set it, forget it. It's all UV-stabilized, so maybe you have, the budget allows one or two pieces this year you want to add on as the years come. It's all going to match, as you mentioned, Denny.
Absolutely. And again, I always like to remind yourselves before I let you get back to work, you don't have to come to the fair to get the deals.
That's right. Yeah, you can visit any of our three showrooms. We got Jordan, Maple Grove, or Woodbury. So you can visit our showrooms, take some test drives there. You can go to our website, bytheyard.net, or you can give us a call. And the sale runs through September 7th, so you've got some time. Get your color samples, get your catalog.
Absolutely. So great to see you, and I'll see you in my living room.
Absolutely, Denny.
That's Jake from By the Yard here on CCO. All right. Thanks, Jake, for taking the time. We're going to get back to our Smart Garden Show now. If you're just joining us, we're doing the show live from the Minnesota State Fair, 651-461-9226. That's the phone number. It's all also the text number. Now, if you're just joining us, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M are doing all the work here at our WCCO Broadcast Center. And as I told you guys off the air, tons of text messages.
Excellent.
And let's see how many folks we can help you here. We want to add, this texter says, some native flowers and grasses near our chain link fence, but there's quack grass along the fence in our neighbor's yards, in and around. Do you have a suggestion how to set this up so we don't need to constantly weed out the quack grass? That's a tough one.
You go ahead with the quack grass part.
The most difficult to control weed in Minnesota in our lawns and landscapes. So it is a creeping perennial that spreads by rhizomes. So even if you hand pull it aloft, oftentimes it'll just resprout from the rhizomes that you can't see. So it's difficult to manually remove. Non-selective options like using glyphosate as a herbicide can work because it translocates through the plant. But otherwise, you basically have to use solarization if you're trying to kill off the quack grass that's already there. In some cases, it's difficult to keep it out, and it's really more a matter of just accepting that it's there and manually pulling what you can if it makes you feel better.
I think also the important thing is when you do pull it out or when you do get, if you kill it off, and is to right away plant. Don't wait around because you'll get other weeds growing in that space. And then to plug it in really densely with native plants. And you can go to one of our many native plant nurseries or one of our garden centers that provide native plants and find out what plants work well for you. And then also mulching that area too. Even if the plants are small and eventually will fill in, you want to put down some thick mulch, probably 2-3 inches, to help to shade out any kind of annual seeds that might germinate.
We have a listener here at the awesome. State Fair grounds. And what is your question, please?
Hi, Julie. I have a hardy hibiscus in my southern-facing yard, and it is a few years old, but it only had two buds on it and blooms, and that's it this year. And it's been big before. Do you know what I'm doing wrong?
I don't think you're doing anything wrong. It could be the just the weather that we've had. We had such a wet, rainy spring. It might be also pruning, if you do cut it down to the base every year.
I do.
Okay, that's great.
Okay.
Maybe try some fertilization.
Okay.
To try to bump it up and look for that center number, the phosphorus number on the analysis. That's going to promote more blooms than the nitrogen. The first one is nitrogen, so that's going to be a lot of leaves. And so look for that center number, too.
Okay, I will. Yeah. Thank you, Julie.
You're welcome.
Sorry, we don't have any parting gifts for you or anything. But
where's the swag?
Thank you for that question. Back to the text messages. And again, there are many. As I walk and drive in various neighborhoods, texter says, I notice that many crabapple trees and a few other fruit trees don't have many leaves. What's going on?
That's the same situation that we have with the question about the lilacs, is that we've had a lot of leaf spot diseases. There are a lot of hundreds of cultivars of ornamental crab apples. Many of them are resistant, meaning that they resist the issues with leaf spot diseases, resist infection. None of these plants are immune. Resistance is not the same as immunity. But we still are seeing leaf spot diseases, and some of the crab apples, especially the older varieties, may be more susceptible to leaf spot diseases than some of the newer breeds or newer cultivars that we've bred. So that's what's happening, is the leaf, just like the lilacs, the leaves are becoming infected thanks to the wet, cold, windy spring and the stress that the plants were under the past few years and coming into spring. And now we've seen a lot of leaf drop. Clean up the leaves is the best thing to do. People sometimes will try to spray a fungicide on these plants. You have to do it before you see the issues. Best thing to do with a major tree is contact one of our certified arborists here in Minnesota.
How do you find the certified arborist?
We have a good webpage on how to hire a tree care professional on the Yard and Garden page under Trees and Shrubs at extension.umn.edu, and that can connect you to a database of certified arborists.
We always love to mention that website. It is such a great resource.
It's pretty loaded.
It really is. extension.umn.edu. It's great reading any time of the year, especially in the dead of winter when
wishful thinking.
Absolutely. John, I was just looking at a whole slug of lawn questions here that come in. Does adding lime to the lawn help with weeds and nutrients?
Oh, that's a good question.
Lime may help with weeds and nutrients if the soil pH is low or acidic. And by low, any time it's below about a 5.5 to 6, that's when lime, or lower, that's when lime would benefit. Otherwise, if it's higher than 6 or 6.5, you're not going to see a whole lot of benefit. If it's above 7, you're literally wasting money by using it, because it raises the soil pH.
This one you're going to have to help us with, because they just say thick bladed grass. Oh. How to get rid of it? What are they talking about?
Probably referring to an older variety of tall fescue, some forage variety that's used in a lot of lawn mixes from the past decades. Now, as far as getting rid of it, there's really only one option that doesn't involve a herbicide, and that's digging it up manually. If it is indeed tall fescue, it doesn't have rhizomes, so it is relatively easy in the sense that you don't have to worry about it once you do dig it up, but it is very difficult to dig up. Otherwise, a non-selective herbicide like glyphosate is going to be your best option for controlling that.
And we had mentioned aeration. Lawn aeration, and this listener sent in a text, what about core versus liquid aeration? Now, what is liquid aeration?
I would not. Liquid aeration is kind of a marketing term. There's really no science to support that liquid aerators or aerifier products do anything to soil compaction, because that's the main point of mechanical core aeration. Always core aerate if you're going to, stay away from the liquid aerator.
This next text must have come from a pirate, because it starts off, "Arrgh!" talk about the creeping Charlie that keeps coming through my neighbor's fence.
Well, Yeah, the creeping Charlie, again, is probably the second most difficult to control weed in Minnesota. As far as controlling it, it spreads by stolons. You can control it selectively with a herbicide in a lawn. Triclopyr is the name of the active ingredient. That's the ibuprofen in Advil, if you think about it that way. So triclopyr is a selective broadleaf herbicide that'll control it. In the fall is the best time to do it. It typically takes 2 to 3 applications to fully remove the creeping Charlie. But understand why it's there to begin with. A lot of times it's really competitive in shaded, wet environments. And if you can't really do anything about the shade or the wet environment first, you're probably going to just continuously get it, and or your neighbor is going to continuously have it. So if you can't address the root reason why it's there, you may just be fighting it year over year, unfortunately.
So, and Creeping Charlie's in the mint family, and anybody who's grown mint in their gardens knows how it can branch out and really take over. So that's part of the reason it forms those, John referred to the stolons, it's those kind of surface roots, and spreads out and creates a mat, and that's what makes it difficult to get rid of.
And some people have written in text-wise to the CCO that they make tea out of it.
I don't think that sounds very good. But
I don't think I'll try that.
I'd grow a nice mojito mint, perhaps, yeah, instead.
By the way, Creeping Charlie is not featured here at the Minnesota State Fair. All right, we need to take a break. We'll have more show, more Smart Garden when we come back. I can tell you that we expect highs around 85 today, tomorrow near 91, and Monday near 94. 66 degrees right now on 830. This is WCCO. It's a beautiful Saturday here at the Minnesota State Fair. Denny Long in the midst of our Smart Garden Show. Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions today live from the fair. And again, Julie and John, tons of questions, and I know we won't get to them all, but see how many folks we can get.
Okay.
Now, you're going to be playing again when? Today.
Today, 6 to 7:30. At a food shelf benefit at Back Channel Brewing in Spring Park. There are 5 bands. It starts at noon. We're on at 6 o'clock.
Okay. Very good.
When it's cooler.
When it's cooler. Yeah, most definitely. Let me grab this one first, and then we get some of the lawn questions. But I planted, Texter says, 2 different apple species 4 years ago. One has fruited every year. One has never flowered. Why do you think that is?
Apple trees?
Yep.
One is fruited every year and the other one has never flowered. Well, apple trees in neighborhood sites, for example, can be cross-pollinated with, say, crab apples. If your neighbor has a crab apple, if you have one, they can cross-pollinate. So that may be what's happening with the first plant. The second plant may just not be mature enough. These plants have a level, sometimes they have to be in the ground 3 to 7 years before they actually will flower and then be mature enough to fruit as well. So cross-pollination, it could be most of our apples flower at the same time, so it's not too, like, timing-wise between two plants is pretty pretty easy to manage. But that second plant is probably not mature enough. And every time someone asks that question, it flowers the next year and then it fruits. So hopefully this is a good omen for
patience.
The texter.
All right. Here's an interesting question, John. What kind of fertilizer can you use on a lawn when you live by a lake?
That's a good question.
That is a great question. So we typically recommend if you are going to fertilize your lawn, and most lawns would benefit from some fertilizer, but avoid fertilizing within about 15 feet of the body of water, just to make sure if there's any kind of accident or anything like that, that, you know, the fertilizer doesn't directly get into the water, because nitrates and phosphates in the water from fertilizer can cause some problems. So the fertilizer source, use something that is that has quick and slow release, at least 20% slow release all the way up to 100%. That's just going to, those are going to be less likely to leach through the soil profile down into the aquifer, which probably feeds the body of water. So slow release fertilizer, at least 20%.
I don't know how some neighbors would feel about this idea, but the texter says, are weeds necessarily bad or unhealthy for a lawn, or are they just, quote, unsightly? Mm. What would happen if everyone just let whatever comes up stay there?
So a weed is just a plant out of place. So it really depends on who's looking at the weed and who thinks it's out of place. So in many bee lawns or pollinator lawns, we're actually promoting plants that many people would consider weeds. Things like white clover, creeping thyme, and self-heal in a bee lawn. Now, as far as other weeds, some weeds like creeping charlie can actually outcompete even the desirable, like pollinator plants, for example, that we're trying to promote. So even in certain circumstances where we don't mind having some non-grassy plants, there are other plants that can still be weedy and too competitive. So it really just depends on which plants are there, and maybe you don't mind at all what's growing in your lawn.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly fine, too.
Absolutely. This listener has a perennial hibiscus. Is it too close? It is too close to an evergreen tree, which is becoming overgrown. When and how is the best way and time to transplant it?
So transplanting larger plants like perennial hibiscus is best done in the spring. And in this case, that's because the plant is smaller. Right now, if you try to transplant it, it would be really difficult because the plant is so big and it's actually blooming at this point. So transplanting it in the spring is the best time to do that. Now, one plant that somebody has asked about today is a peony, and those are best transplanted now. Actually, they're done blooming. They're kind of dying back. Now is the time to transplant those. And we have a new webpage. Actually, it's a video on how to plant bare root peonies coming out probably in the next week or so on our Yard and Garden page. So you can take a look at that video. It's really informative. I learned a ton doing the video, so I was just kind of in the background. But
well, I'm glad you brought that up because we have a bunch of questions about peonies. So that's direct them to the website.
So direct them to the website, extension.umn.edu. And it's going to probably show up under our flowers page under perennials.
A couple of minutes ago in the show, Home Improvement Next Hour, this listener says, I'm having my lawn aerated in early September. Then I will be topping it off with a sun and shade grass seed. How soon after the seeding should I apply a 15-23-10 starter fertilizer?
Well, the starter fertilizer may be beneficial. In some cases, we always recommend a soil test before you're applying a phosphorus-containing fertilizer because in Minnesota we have the phosphorus fertilizer law for lawns. So unless your lawn is needing, is deficient in phosphorus, legally you cannot apply it. Now, there's a misunderstanding that if you're overseeding, that counts as a lawn establishment, which allows for a starter fertilizer containing phosphorus. So I would first double check to make sure that your lawn would actually benefit from the phosphorus in a starter fertilizer, and of course to make sure you're compliant with the law. Now, to answer the texter's question, really any time at seeding is a great time, at or right after you're actually spreading the seed.
All right, very good. We're down to about a minute plus. Again, let's get to the arboretum.
Yes, yeah.
And how do we do that? I mean, a quick direction.
Sure. So you can, it's right at the, just west of the intersection of County Road 41 and Highway 5, just kind of at the corner of Chanhassen and Chaska area.
Yeah.
And you want to get tickets for that. Even if you're a member, you want to get tickets. We have really cool things happening on Saturdays, particularly out at the farm at the Arb. Today is soybean day. So families can learn about soybeans, really important crop here in Minnesota, but they can also visit the Bee Center and they can visit our Foodscape. And there's some delicious soybean or edamame salad that's happening in the kitchen. I tried it yesterday. It was really good. And they can visit that. And that's free. They don't have to have a special ticket for that. But you do have to have a ticket to get into the Arboretum at arb.umn.edu.
10 seconds, John. How do we find you guys here at the fair?
the Agriculture Horticulture Building. Come on by for some lawn and garden questions.
All right, outstanding. And Julie, we'll wish you good luck
today.
Yeah,
rock out with me tonight.
Yes, absolutely. All right, thank you, guys. Great to see you out here at the fair.
Thanks, Denny.
It's been a while since we've been in the studio, so it's always fun to get to see you face-to-face again. All right, enjoy the weather. It's going to be kind of warm. By the way, get those home improvement questions ready next hour. Andy Lindis will be joining us next hour to answer those home improvement questions. In the meantime, enjoy your day. Hope to see you here at the fair right now here on CCO. 66 degrees. We are live here at the Minnesota State Fair answering any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have here at the fair or at home or wherever you may be, either by phone or by text as well. I am here with Julie Wise, as promised, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappe from the U of M. So we've got some great brain power here on our WCCO veranda. Any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you. It's good to see you both here.
It's like the two-headed monster.
Yeah.
Thanks again for having us.
Yeah,
but
thank you.
It is great, and it just is a beautiful day.
Oh, could be better.
I'll ask you later what happened to my lawn, John, but that's for another
all right,
another time. But again, mentioning we're here at the State Fair, are you is the extension here? Is the U of M around anywhere here?
Yeah, in the Agriculture Horticulture Building in the Southwest Wing, we have Master Gardeners and the Turf Lab that are here all day, every day of the fair to be able to answer any of your lawn and garden questions.
That's
so
great.
Come ready.
Yeah.
9 to 9.
Yeah, absolutely. I had the chance to see Julie this past week at the Arboretum. And we talk about it all the time,
right.
What a great resource this is. And I had the chance to drive that 3-mile drive. And what a great resource.
Yeah.
I love being there. You can just stay there forever.
Yeah.
Now, you guys are office there.
Mm-hmm.
We are. We're up at the farm at the Arb in the Myers Education Center, which is surrounded by the foodscape, which John and I designed together. And really shows off beautiful edible plants, food plants, along with John's living patio, which is tall turf type fescue.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about the Arboretum and have a chance to get there. Bring your family and friends there. Our phone number is also our text number, and you know how busy we tend to get here on the show, 651-461-9226. I'm looking at a lawn question right off the bat here, John. What to do about grass rust?
Well, rust is a disease of most turf grass species. Some produce a little bit more or are susceptible a little bit more to rust. It's what turns your shoes red or kind of rust color if you're walking through a lawn. Now, as far as what to do about it, it is a high nitrogen-liking disease, so you can back off the nitrogen rates a little bit, but generally speaking, it's really just involves patience in just allowing the plant to grow out of it because it's just a temporary...
So it's not going to hurt anything?
No, not typically.
Okay. Again, 651-461-9226. This listener, Julie, started a small 3x10 strawberry bed 7 years ago. How and when is the best to thin and clean up the bed? Can this be done this fall when it's a bit cooler?
Yeah, so strawberries, what a wonderful crop to grow. It's a great ground cover. It's perennial, so it comes back every year. And it also sends out runners, which can create a really nice patch. But it can be difficult to get to those center plants. And eventually some of the plants will die out and you need to clean it out. So what you can do a couple things. You can route out, in other words, weed out alleys within your strawberry patch. You can mow it. You can also, probably you want to do this about every 3 years or so. Depends how much your plants are growing, how green they're getting, how thick. We have an excellent webpage on our fruit section of Yard and Garden on Extension at extension.umn.edu. And it gives you all examples and information about how to care for your bed. Also about diseases and pests, too. So, and different kinds of strawberries that are good to grow for Minnesota.
I wanted to ask John about lawns. This is my favorite time of year to try to get mine in shape. But really is a good time of year for shaping up your lawn, yeah. Right?
Just like the state fair, this time of year is perfect for growing grass in Minnesota.
What can you do? What can we do to
Well, right now we're coming up on a great time to begin. If you're looking to renovate your lawn and establish it by seed, right now is basically the optimal window if you have access to irrigation or a way to regularly water it. Otherwise, fertilizing is we're coming into basically the optimal time of the year to fertilize your lawn. And finally, weed control for broadleaf perennial weeds. Starting any time right now is a great time to start getting them out of the lawn and getting it ready for next year.
You know, I noticed after we had this great rain in the spring, and my lawn was actually looking like it was really coming back from the drought. But then now I've grown a great crop of weeds. They look like clover, which clover's nice,
yeah,
right? You like
yeah.
clover.
But for
bees. And we've asked you this before. What can you do about weeds? Can you put anything on it now, or will most of them die off?
So it really depends on the type of weed. But if you want to have fewer weeds, or if you want to use fewer chemicals for controlling or managing them, a dense and healthy turf is the best form of weed control, and that begins with proper management practices like fertilization and mowing. So as far as the types of weeds, summer annual weeds like crabgrass are going to start dying off here in a couple weeks, certainly by the first hard frost. So managing them is really not worth the time or energy. So, but perennial broadleaf weeds like creeping Charlie, wild violet, dandelion, those are best controlled in the fall. And you can do that from, if you already have them, some selective herbicides can work. Otherwise, just hand pulling them if you're not really big on using herbicides.
I'm hoping to, and again, we've talked about core aeration. This is a good time for that too, right?
That's exactly right, yes. Yeah. Right now is the best time of the year. If you're only going to aerate one time and you need it and you know you need to aerate, right now is the great time to do it.
John and Julie, for those folks that don't know what that is, maybe they're newer homeowners or something. What kind of a machine do you get?
Well, a core aerator is really just, or an aerifier, as some are marketed. They're most equipment rental places for direct to consumer will carry them. And it's really just a walk behind or walk in front of device that just pokes holes in the ground and will pull cores. And that's what the little soil cores you see all over your lawn or over some lawns. That's just a way of relieving soil compaction. It allows better airflow, more root growth, and water infiltration into the soil. So it's really helpful for your lawn and certainly for the environment as well.
And again, this is a pretty good time to do that, right?
The best time.
All right, Julie and John, hang on. We're going to take a quick break here. Invite our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, you are in luck. Julie and John answering those questions. We'll take a quick break and be right back. I can tell you that at the moment we have 66 degrees in the Twin Cities. How warm will it get here at the fair? Around 85 today, around 91 tomorrow, and about 94 on Monday. And then it starts cooling off. Again, 66 degrees from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. It is a beautiful day here at the Minnesota State Fair. We're broadcasting our Smart Garden Show live here at our WCCO Broadcast Center. Denny Long here, along with Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the University of Minnesota, answering any kind of a lawn or garden question. By the way, Julie and John, as usual, you know we always get pretty busy
around
this
great
show. We're no exception today. We have tons of texts. But we also have a phone call.
All right.
So let's see if we can't hear from Gaylen in Owatonna. Yeah, good morning, Gaylen. What can we do for you? What is your question, please?
Good morning. The technician who was treating my grass, fertilizing it earlier this summer, accidentally sprayed up on one of my evergreen bushes on an ornamental. And I'm wondering what to do with that brown spot that's at the top and then dribbles over the top.
Okay, so a little evergreen got burned by some
Some herbicide.
Yes.
Herbicide drift or spray.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that the important thing to do is to just kind of wait on it. Don't prune anything off. The needles will drop off if they're all brown. You may see a branch die or so, but just kind of hold tight. Water the plant. Make sure that it's mulched. You essentially want to lower as much stress on that plant as possible so it can kind of recover from the herbicide damage. But we kind of jump the gun sometimes when things like this happen and prune off an important branch on an evergreen in particular, and it's difficult for those to grow back. So just wait, water it, keep it healthy, watch it through next year. It may actually rebud. It might just be the needles that were affected, and you may see new buds on it and new growth next spring.
Texter says this, I have a very large honeysuckle plant. How can I root or split the plant, and can I do it now, or will it survive the winter?
Well, I'm assuming they're talking about a shrub, a honeysuckle shrub, and those are not to be divided. Now, you may see suckers that you could dig up, and you could move those around if you wanted to. I would recommend actually not doing that, but using, if you want a honeysuckle somewhere else, look for some of our native honeysuckles. But these exotic honeysuckles, essentially you can coppice this plant. In other words, you can cut it down to the ground and it will regrow and kind of get back into shape right now. So the other option too is to remove the biggest branches out of the center, roughly about a third of the plant. And you can do that anytime. And then and then that will also allow for more light to reach the base of the plant and therefore younger branches to come up next spring.
Texter says this, and there are many. How late in the year can juniper trees be planted?
Trees can be planted into fall, probably around, it depends on our weather, but probably around into late September. And the important thing is planting, whether it's shrubs, junipers, or trees, whatever woody plant you're planting, is to water them consistently up until freeze, and then also to mulch them to protect the roots. So that will help to hold in moisture, and also to protect the roots from too much, like if we suddenly get a really big cold snap, it'll keep the soil temperatures more moderate and allow that plant and those roots to go slowly into dormancy.
Julie, we've had a bunch of questions about lilacs this year,
oh, yeah.
It seems like. And
yeah,
there's
lilacs.
A bunch of them here, so maybe mm-hmm. we could tackle. What's happening to lilacs? People are complaining about the brown shriveled look, the leaves.
Sure.
What happened?
Well, if you think back to this, first of all, think back to last year. The last few years, we've had really stressful, dry, hot summers. So that puts a lot of stress on plants. And stress on plants lasts into the next growing season. And then you think about our spring this year, and it was cool, it was really wet, and it was very windy. And this makes for a perfect storm for leaf spot diseases. And these are fungal diseases, some are bacterial diseases, and they can spread by wind onto other plants. And lilacs are one of the plants that are susceptible. They're almost every plant is susceptible to leaf spot diseases, but we see them on lilacs when we have these kinds of conditions. Lilacs are also, especially common lilacs, susceptible to powdery mildew, which is another type of leaf spot disease, and we see that all the time at this time of year. So that's what you're seeing. You're seeing the die back on the leaves from those leaf spot diseases. The good news is it's cosmetic, and so therefore you want to clean up those leaves around the base, rake them up, get them out of there. You can throw them in your compost, and then also you want to prune correctly. So look at your lilacs. If they're really dense canopies, you want to prune out some of the bigger branches. And just like the person who asked about the honeysuckle, we want to either prune out a third of the largest branches of lilacs, or you can coppice the plant to the ground. Now, the one cautionary about that is that you are going to prune off at this time of year some of the flower buds for next year. But if it improves the health of the plant overall, it's a good sacrifice to make. We have a brand new webpage that just came out 2 days ago on lilac diseases and issues, other issues. And you can find that on extension.umn.edu under our trees and shrubs section.
I was going to ask John if he plays any kind of a musical instrument and joins the Abiders
I don't know.
At
do
all.
You?
No, I do not.
Did you play in band?
No.
Okay. And speaking of which, those, a lot of folks know that Julie does play in a group called the Abiders. Are you playing at all soon?
Yes, yes. We have a really great event today. It's at Back Channel Brewing in Spring Park. Yeah. And it is a benefit for the local food shelf. Thousands of people come to this. It's a huge fundraiser. And we will be playing our band. There's five bands. We play from 6 to 7:30 p.m. We're the warm-up for the headliners, Bitter Roots. And so we hope to see some of our listeners out there. We're also playing tomorrow at the Surfside Patio, Surfside Barn Grill and Mound, our own backyard. And so we'll have a trio on the patio from 2 to 5.
Maybe John could try a cowbell or something. All right. We need to take a break. I tell you what, let's do this. There's a question. We have so many. I want to field as many questions that we can. There's a lawn question, fertilization. Should we fertilize our lawns in October?
Yeah, as long as you can fertilize even into the end of October, but just make sure that you're using a water-soluble, quick-release nitrogen source like urea. Just something that's going to be more plant available, because anytime we fertilize, we want to make sure that it can be taken up. So that's why we time it when we do.
All right, very good. We're going to check out that hot forecast coming up here in a moment or two. We have about another half hour of the show to go here live from the State Fair. From News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with it. We are live here at the Minnesota State Fair, and a friend of mine stopped by, and I wanted to say hello to Jake from By the Yard. You've seen this guy on television all the time. You're in my living room all the time, and I wonder, how does this happen?
Well, I don't know, Daddy. I guess dumb luck sometimes. But, yeah, mornings like this, I just heard you say it's getting a little bit humid, but we'll take it. You know, this is the whole reason we've got our furniture here, to enjoy mornings like this and evenings like last night.
Well, you and I have talked for a long time, years and years, and you see here we have By the Yard furniture up here in our veranda. Where are you guys located here at the fair?
Yeah, we're at the 4-H building, so right by the Healing Garden. Yeah, we've been there for 4 years now. It's a beautiful setup. We just added a big deck. We've got hundreds of pieces there, so we have free glider rides there. So if you don't want to go to the Midway, you can stop on by our booth.
We're talking like a 10% savings, and you can get some pretty quick delivery too, can't you?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's an opportunity to save hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Yeah, and our turnaround time is about 2 to 3 weeks. So as you just mentioned, the forecast looks great. Plenty of time to sit outside, enjoy your furniture, get a fire table, get all set for this fall.
This is the furniture we've told you about. I was telling some friends of mine, probably almost 20 years, I think, here on CCO. Yeah. And I'm looking at the furniture on our deck, and we did buy some new pieces, as you know. But you can't tell the difference of which is older and which is newer.
No, I mean, there's a reason we give you a 35-year warranty. I mean, this is our 29th year at the fair, so we're definitely not new to this by any means. But, yeah, I mean, you just leave it outside. You set it, forget it. It's all UV-stabilized, so maybe you have, the budget allows one or two pieces this year you want to add on as the years come. It's all going to match, as you mentioned, Denny.
Absolutely. And again, I always like to remind yourselves before I let you get back to work, you don't have to come to the fair to get the deals.
That's right. Yeah, you can visit any of our three showrooms. We got Jordan, Maple Grove, or Woodbury. So you can visit our showrooms, take some test drives there. You can go to our website, bytheyard.net, or you can give us a call. And the sale runs through September 7th, so you've got some time. Get your color samples, get your catalog.
Absolutely. So great to see you, and I'll see you in my living room.
Absolutely, Denny.
That's Jake from By the Yard here on CCO. All right. Thanks, Jake, for taking the time. We're going to get back to our Smart Garden Show now. If you're just joining us, we're doing the show live from the Minnesota State Fair, 651-461-9226. That's the phone number. It's all also the text number. Now, if you're just joining us, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M are doing all the work here at our WCCO Broadcast Center. And as I told you guys off the air, tons of text messages.
Excellent.
And let's see how many folks we can help you here. We want to add, this texter says, some native flowers and grasses near our chain link fence, but there's quack grass along the fence in our neighbor's yards, in and around. Do you have a suggestion how to set this up so we don't need to constantly weed out the quack grass? That's a tough one.
You go ahead with the quack grass part.
The most difficult to control weed in Minnesota in our lawns and landscapes. So It is a creeping perennial that spreads by rhizomes, so even if you hand pull it aloft, oftentimes it'll just resprout from the rhizomes that you can't see. So it's difficult to manually remove. Non-selective options like using glyphosate as a herbicide can work because it translocates through the plant, but otherwise you basically have to use solarization if you're trying to kill off the quackgrass that's already there. In some cases, it's difficult to keep it out, and it's really more a matter of just accepting that it's there and manually pulling what you can if it makes you feel better.
I think also the important thing is if when you do pull it out or when you do get, you know, if you kill it off, and is to right away plant. Don't let it, don't wait around because you'll get other weeds growing in that space. And then to plug it in really densely with native plants. And you can go to one of our many native plant nurseries or one of our garden centers that provide native plants and find out what plants work well for you. And then also mulching that area too. Even if the plants are small and eventually will fill in, you want to put down some thick mulch, probably 2-3 inches, to help to shade out any kind of annual seeds that might germinate.
We have a listener here at the awesome. State Fair grounds, and what is your question, please?
Hi, Julie. I have a hardy hibiscus in my southern-facing yard, and it is a few years old, but it only had 2 buds on it and blooms, and that's it this year, and it's been big before. Do you know what I'm doing wrong?
I don't think you're doing anything wrong. It could be the just the weather that we've had. We had such a wet, rainy spring. It might be also pruning, if you do cut it down to the base every year.
I do.
Okay, that's great.
Okay.
Maybe try some fertilization.
Okay.
To try to bump it up and look for that center number, the phosphorus number on the analysis. That's going to promote more blooms than the nitrogen. The first one is nitrogen, so that's going to be a lot of leaves. And so look for that center number, too.
Okay, I will. Yeah. Thank you, Julie.
You're welcome.
Sorry, we don't have any parting gifts for you or anything. But
where's the swag?
Thank you for that question. Back to the text messages, and again, there are many. As I walk and drive in various neighborhoods, texter says, I notice that many crabapple trees and a few other fruit trees don't have many leaves. What's going on?
That's the same situation that we have with the question about the lilacs, is that we've had a lot of leaf spot diseases. There are a lot of hundreds of cultivars of ornamental crab apples. Many of them are resistant, meaning that they resist the issues with leaf spot diseases, resist infection. None of these plants are immune. Resistance is not the same as immunity. But we still are seeing leaf spot diseases, and some of the crab apples, especially the older varieties, may be more susceptible to leaf spot diseases than some of the newer breeds or newer cultivars that we've bred. So that's what's happening is the leaf, just like the lilacs, the leaves are becoming infected thanks to the wet, cold, windy spring and the stress that the plants were under the past few years and coming into spring. And now we've seen a lot of leaf drop. Clean up the leaves is the best thing to do. People sometimes will try to spray a fungicide on these plants. You have to do it before you see the issues. Best thing to do with a major tree is contact one of our certified arborists here in Minnesota.
How do you find the certified arborist?
We have a good webpage on how to hire a tree care professional on the Yard and Garden page under Trees and Shrubs at extension.umn.edu, and that can connect you to a database of certified arborists.
We always love to mention that website. It is such a great resource.
It's pretty loaded.
It really is. extension.umn.edu. It's great reading any time of the year, especially in the dead of winter when
you're wishful thinking.
Absolutely. John, I was just looking at a whole slug of lawn questions here that come in. Does adding lime to the lawn help with weeds and nutrients?
Oh, that's a good question.
Lime may help with weeds and nutrients if the soil pH is low or acidic. And by low, any time it's below about a 5.5 to 6, that's when lime, or lower, that's when lime would benefit. Otherwise, if it's higher than 6 or 6.5, you're not going to see a whole lot of benefit. If it's above 7, you're literally wasting money by using it because it raises the soil pH.
This one you're going to have to help us with because they just say thick bladed grass. Oh. How to get rid of it? What are they talking about?
Probably referring to an older variety of tall fescue, some forage variety that's used in a lot of lawn mixes from the past decades. Now, as far as getting rid of it, there's really only one option that doesn't involve a herbicide, and that's digging it up manually. If it is indeed tall fescue, it doesn't have rhizome, so it is relatively easy in the sense that you don't have to worry about it once you do dig it up, but it is very difficult to dig up. Otherwise, a non-selective herbicide like glyphosate is going to be your best option for controlling that.
And we had mentioned aeration. Lawn aeration, and this listener sent in a text, what about core versus liquid aeration? Now, what is liquid aeration?
I would not. Liquid aeration is kind of a marketing term. There's really no science to support that liquid aerators or aerifier products do anything to soil compaction, because that's the main point of mechanical core aeration. Always core aerate if you're going to, stay away from the liquid aerator.
This next text must have come from a pirate because it starts off, "Arrgh!" talk about the creeping Charlie that keeps coming through my neighbor's fence.
Well, yeah, the creeping Charlie, again, is probably the second most difficult to control weed in Minnesota. As far as controlling it spreads by stolons. You can control it selectively with a herbicide in a lawn. Triclopyr is the name of the active ingredient. That's the ibuprofen in Advil, if you think about it that way. So triclopyr is a selective broadleaf herbicide that'll control it. In the fall is the best time to do it. It typically takes 2 to 3 applications to fully remove the creeping Charlie. But understand why it's there to begin with. A lot of times it's really competitive in shaded, wet environments. And if you can't really do anything about the shade or the wet environment first, you're probably going to just continuously get it, and or your neighbor is going to continuously have it. So if you can't address the root reason why it's there, you may just be fighting it year over year, unfortunately.
So, and Creeping Charlie's in the mint family, and anybody who's grown mint in their gardens knows how it can branch out and really take over. So that's part of the reason it forms those, John referred to the stolons, it's those kind of surface roots, and spreads out and creates a mat, and that's what makes it difficult to get rid of.
And some people have written in text-wise to the CCO that they make tea out of it.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that sounds very good. But
I don't think I'll try that.
I'd grow a nice mojito mint, perhaps, instead.
By the way, Creeping Charlie is not featured here at the Minnesota State Fair. All right, we need to take a break. We'll have more show, more Smart Garden when we come back. I can tell you that we expect highs around 85 today, tomorrow near 91, and Monday near 94. 66 degrees right now on 830. This is WCCO. It's a beautiful Saturday here at the Minnesota State Fair. Denny Long in the midst of our Smart Garden Show. Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi from the U of M answering those lawn and garden questions today live from the fair. And again, Julie and John, tons of questions, and I know we won't get to them all, but see how many folks we can get.
Okay.
Now, you're going to be playing again when? Today?
Today, 6 to 7:30. At a food shelf benefit at Back Channel Brewing in Spring Park. There are 5 bands. It starts at noon. We're on at 6 o'clock.
Okay. Very good.
When it's cooler.
When it's cooler. Yeah, most definitely. Let me grab this one first, and then we get some of the lawn questions. But I planted, Texter says, 2 different apple species 4 years ago. One has fruited every year. One has never flowered. Why do you think that is?
Apple trees?
Yep.
One is fruited every year and the other one has never flowered. Well, apple trees in neighborhood sites, for example, can be cross-pollinated with, say, crab apples. If your neighbor has a crab apple, if you have one, they can cross-pollinate. So that may be what's happening with the first plant. The second plant may just not be mature enough. These plants have a level, sometimes they have to be in the ground 3 to 7 years before they actually will flower and then be mature enough to fruit as well. So cross-pollination, it could be most of our apples flower at the same time, so it's not too, like, timing-wise between two plants is pretty easy to manage. But that second plant is probably not mature enough. And every time, it seems every time someone asks that question, it flowers the next year and then it fruits. So hopefully this is a good omen for
patience.
The texter.
All right. Here's an interesting question, John. What kind of fertilizer can you use on a lawn when you live by a lake?
That's a good question.
That is a great question. So we typically recommend if you are going to fertilize your lawn, and most lawns would benefit from some fertilizer, but avoid fertilizing within about 15 feet of the body of water, just to make sure if there's any kind of accident or anything like that, that, you know, the fertilizer doesn't directly get into the water, because nitrates and phosphates in the water from fertilizer can cause some problems. So the fertilizer source, use something that is that has quick and slow release, at least 20% slow release all the way up to 100%. That's just going to, those are going to be less likely to leach through the soil profile down into the aquifer, which probably feeds the body of water. So slow release fertilizer, at least 20%.
I don't know how some neighbors would feel about this idea, but the texter says, are weeds necessarily bad or unhealthy for a lawn, or are they just, quote, unsightly? Mm. What would happen if everyone just let whatever comes up stay there?
So a weed is just a plant out of place. So it really depends on who's looking at the weed and who thinks it's out of place. So in many bee lawns or pollinator lawns, we're actually promoting plants that many people would consider weeds. Things like white clover, creeping thyme, and self-heal in a bee lawn. Now, as far as other weeds, some weeds like creeping charlie can actually outcompete even the desirable, like pollinator plants, for example, that we're trying to promote. So even in certain circumstances where we don't mind having some non-grassy plants, there are other plants that can still be weedy and too competitive. So it really just depends on which plants are there, and maybe you don't mind at all what's growing in your lawn.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly fine, too.
Absolutely. This listener has a perennial hibiscus. Is it too close? It is too close to an evergreen tree, which is becoming overgrown. When and how is the best way and time to transplant it?
So transplanting larger plants like perennial hibiscus is best done in the spring. And in this case, that's because the plant is smaller. Right now, if you try to transplant it, it would be really difficult because the plant is so big and it's actually blooming at this point. So transplanting it in the spring is the best time to do that. Now, one plant that somebody has asked about today is a peony, and those are best transplanted now. Actually, they're done blooming. They're kind of dying back. Now is the time to transplant those. And we have a new webpage. Actually, it's a video on how to plant bare root peonies coming out probably in the next week or so on our Yard and Garden page. So you can take a look at that video. It's really informative. I learned a ton doing the video, so I was just kind of in the background. But
well, I'm glad you brought that up, because we have a bunch of questions about peonies. So that's direct them to the website.
So direct them to the website, extension.umn.edu. And it's going to probably show up under our flowers page under perennials.
A couple of minutes ago in the show, Home Improvement Next Hour, this listener says, I'm having my lawn aerated in early September. Then I will be topping it off with a sun and shade grass seed. How soon after the seeding should I apply a 15-23-10 starter fertilizer?
Well, the starter fertilizer may be beneficial. In some cases, we always recommend a soil test before you're applying a phosphorus-containing fertilizer, because in Minnesota, we have the phosphorus fertilizer law for lawns. So unless your lawn is needing, is deficient in phosphorus, legally you cannot apply it. Now, there's a misunderstanding that if you're overseeding, that counts as a lawn establishment, which allows for a starter fertilizer containing phosphorus. So I would first double check to make sure that your lawn would actually benefit from the phosphorus in a starter fertilizer, and of course to make sure you're compliant with the law. Now, to answer the texter's question, really any time at seeding is a great time, at or right after you're actually spreading the seed.
All right, very good. We're down to about a minute plus. Again, let's get to the arboretum.
Yes, yeah.
And how do we do that? I mean, a quick direction.
Sure. So you can, it's right at the, just west of the intersection of County Road 41 and Highway 5. just kind of at the corner of Chanhassen and Chaska area.
Yeah.
And you want to get tickets for that. Even if you're a member, you want to get tickets. We have really cool things happening on Saturdays, particularly out at the farm at the Arb. Today is soybean day. So families can learn about soybeans, really important crop here in Minnesota, but they can also visit the Bee Center and they can visit our Foodscape. And there's some delicious soybean or edamame salad that's happening in the kitchen. I tried it yesterday. It was really good. And they can visit that. And that's free. They don't have to have a special ticket for that. But you do have to have a ticket to get into the Arboretum at arb.umn.edu.
10 seconds, John. How do we find you guys here at the fair?
The Agriculture Horticulture Building. Come on by for some lawn and garden questions.
All right, outstanding. And Julie, we'll wish you good luck today.
Yeah, rock out with me tonight.
Yes, absolutely. All right, thank you, guys. Great to see you out here at the fair.
Thanks, Danny.
It's been a while since we've been in the studio, so it's always fun to get to see you face-to-face again. All right, enjoy the weather. It's going to be kind of warm. By the way, get those home improvement questions ready next hour. Andy Lindis will be joining us next hour to answer those home improvement questions. In the meantime, enjoy your day. Hope to see you here at the fair right now here on CCO. 66 degrees.